Well, why don't we take some time this evening and look into the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we're going to be. I do want to share a little bit about where we're headed in coming weeks, just so you can pray and maybe be reading ahead a little bit and be thinking. Tonight we're going to finish Proverbs chapter 8. Next week we will do Proverbs chapter 9, all of Proverbs chapter 9. It's kind of a summary chapter that will kind of sum up all the topics that we've been looking at thus far. And so really next week we will conclude our study in Proverbs chapters 1 to 9. And then the week after that, I believe David is going to teach from Psalm 1, I think, is the plan. So you can be thinking and reading ahead on that. And then we'll have a couple of weeks where we'll look at different sections of Scripture. And my goal will be to go through the prayers of Paul in the letters. And just how did Paul pray for the believers? How did he pray for the churches in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon and Thessalonians and Timothy? So it'll be a good time together in the Word. And then the goal after that will be to start the Gospel of Mark on Wednesday night. Just little by little to go through the life of Christ and gaze upon our Savior to prepare us for a time of prayer. So that's where we're headed. That's maybe kind of our few year plan at that point. But that's the goal, Lord willing. But Proverbs chapter 8 for tonight is where we are. We are going to end the chapter with this little but full section. It's small. It's not very long, but there is so much that the Spirit of God packs into these verses for us. And I want to bring a brief message that I have titled Get God's Wisdom, because it is a life or death issue. It is a life or death issue. So follow with me and let's just read it. I'll pray. We'll ask for the Spirit of God to give illumination and then we'll study it together. Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. It is our prayer, O Lord, that as we turn our attention to hear from you, the true and living God, that you, O God, would teach us, that you would warn us, that you would instruct us, that you would guide us to Christ. Lord, if there are any people here tonight in this place who do not know Christ in a saving way, would it be that by your sovereign grace and by your everlasting appointment and decree, you might cause them to be born again this evening? But Father, build up your church, strengthen your church, lead us into the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. It was about a little over a month ago that I was gripped by the NASA, by the SpaceX launch of Bob and Doug. They were on a Falcon 9 rocket to the International Space Station. My wife can even testify to how hooked I was to watching this. Even while we were in the car, I was hooked to watching this. All the work, all the preparation, all the planning, all the care and the precautions, all of the checks and the double checks and the intelligence and the work, all that went into this was so fascinating to me. So fascinating to me. I thought many, many times about Bob and Doug and how they had to listen to instructions and they had to take action. They had to heed what was told them. They had to take care. They had to not neglect what they had heard and read and been taught. They had to remember the instructions because it was a life and death endeavor. Literally, it was a life and death endeavor. And thankfully, it was successful. The launch was successful. They made it safely to the International Space Station. And, you know, what a thrill, what excitement, what happiness ensued when the door was open and they went into the space station and they greeted those that were already there. And I thought to myself, how great that is. How much care, how much precision, how much thoughtfulness, how careful they had to be to heed all of the instructions and take great care and not neglect what they had studied for many, many, many years. How much more is it true for the Christian as well? If astronauts need to pay attention and listen up and keep the instructions to protect their physical lives, how much more should we listen up to God and keep His instructions? Because after all, eternity is at stake when we come to the Word of the living God. Life and death is at stake. I want you to listen to Proverbs 11, verse 19. You have it printed in your outline there. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, but whoever pursues evil will bring about his own death. You see the theme of life and death. Look at Proverbs 13, 14 in your outline. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. Or the words of Jesus in John 5:24, when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but he has passed out of death into life." What a glorious promise. What truth there is that for all who hear Christ and believe in him, we have passed out of death into life. And that's what Proverbs chapter 8 is going to teach us tonight. That's what Proverbs 8 is going to remind us yet again tonight. Now, let me just sort of remind you of big picture where we are in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8 is wisdom personified. It's as if God is portraying wisdom as if wisdom was a person, calling out, crying out, as if wisdom had the real attributes of a person. In verses 1 to 5, wisdom takes on the form of a preacher, really a street preacher, calling out, crying out, begging for all passers-by to listen and to gain this wisdom. And then the week after that, we looked at the benefits of wisdom. And then we saw the supremacy of wisdom. Last week, the antiquity of wisdom, even in creation. And now in verses 32 to 36, we come to the concluding exhortation to get this. Don't neglect it. To get the wisdom of God, not neglect it. There's a key word, and the word is found twice in our section. I want you to see it in your Bible. Middle of verse 32, do you see it? Where Solomon is going to write, the father says, "For blessed are they who keep my ways." And then verse 34 begins, "Blessed is the man who listens to me." In the Hebrew, this is an intensive form. It is plural. How many are the blessednesses? How infinite, how manifold, how abundant are the happinesses to the one who listens to this wisdom? In other words, if you don't get this wisdom, you're not going to have the blessedness of God. It is a life and a death issue. It is a joy and a lack of joy issue. We read about that here in our scripture. Wisdom is crying out to us with a concluding exhortation. And God's wisdom is so important. We live in a day, and it's almost like each day that goes by, it's like, man, we gotta be reminded we need the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world. Look in the bottom of your outline, because God's wisdom, number one, comforts your soul through hardships. Nothing that this world could ever offer you can bring you comfort in your soul like the wisdom of God from the Word. Number two, the wisdom of God, it refocuses your mind in your life. Because if you're like me, we can get distracted sometimes. Okay, scratch that. We can get distracted daily, sometimes even hourly. And we need God's wisdom to sort of refocus and recalibrate our hearts. Third, the wisdom of God fortifies your heart upon Christ. You see, we're going to stand on something in this world. May it not be ourselves in our own understanding, but may we fortify our hearts on Christ and His perfect and good character. Number four, the wisdom of God elevates your mindset above worldliness. This is my prayer, by the way, little footnote. This has been my prayer for our church in recent weeks and months, that with all of the turmoil going on in our world, that when we gather together and worship God, it would be a transcendent, almost like an otherworldly experience. Not a mystical thing, you know what I mean? Not like we're having a vision or something, but it's a heavenly occasion where we're lifted out of the things of this realm, out of the selfishness and the violence and the muck here, and we're lifted up to the glory of God in the heights of His majesty in heaven. So the wisdom of God elevates our mind above worldliness. Next, number five, the wisdom of God rejoices your heart each day. There's not much to rejoice your heart in this world when you turn on the news. But there is always sufficient content to drive you and to lead us to the joy of God when we read His Word. And finally, number six, God's wisdom guides your conduct through Scripture. Why? Because it informs your mind, and then it informs your heart, and your conduct will follow. What do you need in life? We need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of Christ. It's like one commentator who said, you need to hold on to Christ and never let Him go. Hold on to everything else loosely, but hold on to Christ. Hold on to His wisdom. It's like the queen from the south who came to hear from the wisdom of Solomon. And 1 Kings says her breath was taken away. There was so much wisdom in Solomon. But then Jesus said, behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Matthew 12:42. So let's learn about this that is greater than Solomon. Let's learn about the great wisdom of God that is calling out. So in your outline, this section from Proverbs 8 is going to give a concluding plea from what we could call the street preacher wisdom. This is the concluding plea from the street preacher wisdom so that we might listen and respond and find joy in the wisdom of God. If chapter 8 is the sermon, this is the conclusion. This is the end. This is the exhortation to the sermon. Let's begin in your outline. Number one, the request for wisdom. Look at verse 32. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me. Verse 33, heed instruction, be wise, do not neglect it. This is like any good sermon. Like the mechanics of any sermon, there's always something that you must do in any good sermon. There's action take. There's something to implement. A good sermon always has application, exhortation, a call to action. That's what the sermon does here. Listen. Be wise. Do not neglect this. Heed instruction. We see it over and over and over with all these little imperatives. The request to gain wisdom. It's like a couple of nights ago when I was with one of my children teaching one of my kids how to mow the lawn. It was especially important because we were mowing a neighbor's lawn, actually. But I had to tell my child, listen, pay attention to me. This is how we do it. This is how you mow someone's lawn. And you keep the line straight, right? Especially because you were on a neighbor's lawn. It was so important to do. Pay attention. listen, be wise. That's what the Father is doing here in Proverbs 8, verse 32. Pay attention. And notice the end of verse 33, heed instruction and be wise, don't neglect it. What a fascinating verb, to not neglect wisdom. It's a Hebrew verb that means let your hair loose. Let your hair loose. Almost like the unbraiding of hair. Almost like the letting the hair loose and just letting it down. It's the image in my mind of a dad with his children, and maybe he takes them to the beach and he'll take in his hand a scoop of sand. And then when he'll separate his fingers, the sand just seeps through it. It sifts through the fingers. Even that image is well. Not allowing the wisdom of God to seep through your heart and out of your mind. The Father is saying, here's the request. Get it. Don't miss it. Gain the wisdom of God. It's that important. It's like the first responders who, they need instruction. They go to school. They are well taught, and they get that teaching through instruction and training and education and focus. They can't neglect what they have heard. They cannot let the wisdom fall through their hands. They need to be careful and diligent and watchful, always ready and always on guard. That's what wisdom is doing. This is a life or death issue. Verse 32 and 33. Here's the request. Get it. Pay attention. Don't neglect it. But number two in your outline, look at the reasons. Not just the request to get it. We see all the imperatives there in 32 and 33. But what are the reasons? You know, how good our God is. He's not some strict, tyrannical dictator where he just gives you a list of hundreds of laws and says, do it. But he gives us the motivation. He gives us the reason. Think about the Bible. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. God freely gives us all things in Christ. Romans 8. In Christ, God equips you with every good thing to do His will, working in us what is pleasing in His sight. That's incredible. Hebrews 13:21. Every good gift is from the Father of lights. Even Nehemiah chapter 9, Israel revels in the goodness of God in Christ. You and I can do the same. What are the reasons? Wisdom is preaching. Get it, get it, get it. Don't miss this. What are the reasons? Look at verse 32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. Why? For blessed are they who keep my ways. Verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Again, intensive, abundant happinesses. God is not afraid to say, you follow me. This is the path of joy. There may be hardship, and there may be difficulty, there may be tribulation, it might even bring about death. But it truly brings a life of genuine happiness and joy rooted in the goodness of God. And so what happens? Well, here's the first reason that we are to pursue the wisdom of God, because it brings abounding happiness, abundant happiness. Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me. He must be watching daily at my gates. Does that describe you and me and our search for wisdom? Our readiness to get wisdom? The word for watching is a Hebrew word that means vigilantly being on the lookout. The same Hebrew word is found in Jeremiah 5 for a leopard, vigilantly watching for his prey. Now, think about that for a sec. Does that describe you? Does that describe me and our desire for the wisdom of God? You know, sometimes it's quick for us to just kind of go to the headlines, to go to social media, to go to the news and find out what's going on and see what's going on and just sort of fill our mind with these things. Not that we're intending to be controlled by them, but that's just kind of a natural impulse that sometimes we do. But wait a minute. Oh, that God would help us to be like a leopard, vigilantly watching. That our first impulse would be to go to the wisdom of God from the Word. That we would tap into the Scripture, that we would log into the Scripture, as it were, and that we would download the truth of Scripture into our minds and hearts to guide us through each day. And then wisdom says, verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching at my gates and waiting at my doorposts. May we be watching and waiting, knocking at the door, saying, I want God's wisdom afresh. Give me the wisdom of God afresh. Just like somebody coming to your door wanting to come in, knock at the door of the Lord and His Word, saying, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. So what does this look like for us to receive this wisdom and receive the abundant happiness? Here's a couple of practical thoughts. Number one, it comes through daily Bible reading. It doesn't need to be a whole lot more complex than that. It's just daily Bible reading. You see, we eat food every day for sustenance, so it ought to be that we live on God's Word each day. Number two, it comes through active sermon intake. Active sermon intake. I am convinced, and maybe it's just I love to read so much of the Puritans who help so much with the listening and the applying of sermons. When the Bible is read, God talks. When the Bible is faithfully expounded, I believe that is the word of the Lord going forth. Not new revelation, but faithful word of God going forth with power to strengthen and edify His people. This is one of the ways that we receive the wisdom of God, through active sermon intake. And with that, third, it comes through intentional Bible application. Intentional Bible application. It's not just enough to hear the Bible. We want to apply it and implement it into our lives. Fourth, it comes through shutting out worldly ideologies. We have waves crashing upon us constantly with different ideas and perspectives and thoughts and new movements and new things we ought to do. We need to shut those worldly ideologies out and keep coming back to Scripture. And then next, we get God's wisdom through desperately believing prayer. Desperately believing prayer. Desperate for God and believing that He hears and believing that God answers. So again, those five things. It comes through daily Bible reading. It comes through active sermon intake. It comes through intentional Bible application. It comes through shutting out worldly ideologies. And then fifth, it comes through desperately believing prayer. May the Lord help us that we would watch, that we would wait, and that we would receive the abounding joy, the happiness is in our hearts, from receiving the Word of God. And look at verse 35. Next in your outline, verse 35, look at the abundant life that this wisdom gives. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. That's just pretty awesome. To have this wisdom is to find life. It's kind of like John 5, when the Son has life in Himself. 1 John 5:12. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Well, that sounds like a pretty clear cross-reference to right here in Proverbs 8, verse 35. If you find Christ, you find life. If you gain Christ, you have gained life. If you possess Christ, you possess life. If you receive Christ, you've received life. If you enjoy Christ, you enjoy life. This is what wisdom is saying, verse 35, the street preacher, wisdom in the conclusion of the message, saying, here's the reason why you need me, because, verse 35, if you find me, you have life. Pause real quick. Is this true for you? Have you found this life? Have you found the life, the wisdom of God that is found in the Son? remember this life. Reflect on this life. To have this wisdom is to have life. Rejoice in the wisdom that God gives. And even respond with worship. God, thank you for this wisdom. It's available. God, thank you for the life in Christ that has been given to me. It tugs at our hearts right here. This is not just intellectual data. It reminds us that to have Christ is to have life. To have the wisdom of God is to have life. To have the wisdom of God in the Word of God incarnated in Jesus is to have life. And that's what verse 35 is saying. Oh, the joy of having abundant life from this wisdom. And if it could not get any better, look at the end of verse 35. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Favor. Interesting word. Occurs 14 times in the book of Proverbs. It means that God is pleased with this kind of person. That God is pleased with this kind of person. It means that God delights in this person. That God is happy with this person. End of verse 35. If you receive this wisdom, you obtain the delight, the acceptance, the favor of God. I remember preaching through the book of Psalms in one verse at the very tail end of the study that so comforted my heart was Psalm 149, verse 4, which says, God takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Well, that's awesome. God takes pleasure in his people and he beautifies the afflicted ones with salvation. It sounds like Philippians 2, verse 13. God works in you both to will and to work for his pleasure. For his pleasure. So you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? It's God who works in you, and this is done for his pleasure, for his joy. It's like Hebrews 10, verse 38, live by faith, and God will have pleasure in you. Why? Because the author says, if you shrink back and you do not live by faith, the author of Hebrews says God does not have pleasure in that one. So God takes pleasure in the person who lives by faith. Ongoing, consistent, daily faith in the Lord. What a great God. That he not only requests that you get wisdom, but he gives you the reasons for wisdom. Oh, think of the abundant happiness. The abundant life. Think of the obtaining of God's favor and his acceptance and his joy and the wisdom that we get. The section's almost over, but I want to give you one more heading. And it really is the preacher ending with a very, very sober warning. In your outline, number 3, the refuge. We've seen the request for wisdom. We've seen the reasons for wisdom. But hang with me, number 3, the refuge. The refuge in wisdom. You know this. I'm going to preach it again this Sunday night from Ephesians 6. But it's true here as well. True love warns. True love warns. It is loving to expose error. It is loving to prevent disaster. Verse 36. But whoever sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Period. Sermon is over. Christ tells the truth in the Bible. There is great risk. There is great horror. We might even say great dread in neglecting the wisdom of God, in abandoning the wisdom of God. To reject God is to perish. To neglect the wisdom of God will destroy you, the text is saying. So the call for wisdom concludes with caution. a caution, a sober warning, a very real danger. Now, look carefully at verse 36, because all the English translations are different here. Now, in the New American Standard, I have, verse 36, whoever sins against me. That's the most literal. The NIV and the ESV have, whoever fails to find me. That's kind of the general thought that's being conveyed. The New Living Translation has this, those who miss the mark. Because that's what the word is for sin. To sin is to miss the mark. That's the word that is used right here. And all the English translations are trying to bring that out in different ways. Whoever sins against me, or if you miss the mark, or if you fail to find this wisdom, the bullseye of this wisdom, if you don't get this wisdom, you're injuring yourself. You're harming yourself. We got to aim for the bullseye of God's wisdom and getting God's wisdom. I am greatly, greatly concerned in a matter of prayer is the realization that there are many people who I think now are in hell, who once sat in pews and heard the wisdom of God preached. That there are people who now are in hell, who heard the truth about God at some point or another preached, but they did not heed it. And the text in verse 36 says, whoever sins, whoever misses the mark, whoever fails to find the wisdom of God injures himself. Note, it's not because you haven't heard, but because you haven't heeded the wisdom. It's not because you haven't listened to the wisdom. It's because you haven't applied what you've listened. It's not because you haven't received a message. It's because you haven't responded to the message that you've heard. I mean, this is a sober warning from wisdom, the preacher, saying, listen and take action and receive me. Because if you don't, verse 36, he injures himself. NIV says he harms himself. The King James is the most literal. He hurts his own soul. If you don't get the wisdom of God, I'll give you the Hebrew word. You'll know it because it's on the news almost every day, especially relating to Israel. If you don't get the wisdom of God, you play Hamas with your own soul. The word is Hamas. And the word in Hebrew and the cognate languages means to be hard, strict, severe, to be violently destructive, to be viciously harmful. Do you get what wisdom is saying? If you don't get the wisdom of God, you're doing Hamas. You are being violently destructive to your own soul. You're being viciously harmful to your own soul. And somebody might say, well, how do I miss the mark? How does that happen to me? I think in three ways. Number one, by neglect. By neglect. Just people that they hear about God, they've got a Bible, they go to church, they're not indignant with God, but they're just indifferent toward God. They're not angry toward God, they're just apathetic toward God. Neglect. They just dismiss what God says. I think a second way that people injure themselves spiritually, number two, is by contempt. This is the mocker. He's despising the word by contempt. And then third, you have rebellion. This is the one he says, I know God says it, but... And then he disobeys. It's just a rebel. And I think the wisdom preacher is saying, listen, be warned and be advised. This is life or death. Because the very last phrase, look at it in verse 36... All those who hate wisdom love death. I mean, my goodness, there's no walking the fence. There's no neutrality here. You're either for the wisdom of God or you're against the wisdom of God. You're either loving the wisdom of God or you're loving death. Those are the two options, and there's nothing. There's a great chasm between. I mean, that really kind of separates all people in the world into one of two categories. Those who love and receive and heed and obey the wisdom of God, or those who neglect it. Those who are in contempt, treat it with mockery, or those who rebel against it. What a call. What a call from wisdom. May it be, if there's even anyone in this place tonight, the wisdom of God is neglected or a contempt or even just rebelled against, come and find life. Come and find life in this wisdom that has been presented in the incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Moses was saying the same thing many, many centuries earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, Moses said, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but you're drawn away to worship other gods and serve other gods, I declare to you that you will surely perish." Verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life." That's what God wants. He's calling. He's pleading. He's preaching. Deuteronomy 30, 19. Choose life. How? What does it look like? The next verse, Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. By loving the Lord your God. Second, by obeying his voice. Third, by holding fast to him. What a great description of what it is to choose life. You love the Lord your God. You obey his voice and you hold fast to this God. Listen to the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Christ. In him are all the treasures of wisdom. To have this wisdom is to have life. To have Christ is to have life. Charles Wesley was reflecting on this very truth of the wisdom of God, and Charles Wesley penned a hymn on this. I think it's actually in your outline. I forget if I copied it there. But Charles Wesley put these thoughts to poetry when he said, "One only gift can justify the boasting soul that knows his God. When Jesus doth his blood apply, I glory in his sprinkled blood. The Lord my righteousness I praise, I triumph in the love divine. The wisdom, wealth, and strength of grace in Christ through endless ages mine." Well, wisdom has stood up. Wisdom has preached. Wisdom has called out to every one of us in this place. I guess the question is, what are you going to do with it? And the question is, how is it going to change you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word that you have given to us in your precious word. We thank you, O Lord, for the glory and the wisdom and the power and the revelation of your truth. To have this wisdom is to have life. Yes, to have Christ, the full embodiment of wisdom, is to have life. Oh, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for his glory. We thank you that he is our wonderful counselor. We thank you that he is the one who is greater than Solomon. Help us to treasure him. Help us to seek him. Help us to vigilantly watch for him. and to daily pursue Him with all of our God-given strength. Especially in the days in which we live, O Lord, give us this wisdom, we pray. Protect us. Protect our minds. Protect our hearts. Protect the way that we think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.